Well, first time for everything. If this is still working, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Cars and Comedy Show here in the late night playset. It is 5 p.m. here in the Pacific. My name is Jay Ryan. We have got a good one for you tonight. We have got the usual lady that you're all tuned in for right over here. She's in the dark, but she's here. And also, we are excited to talk Malibu. We're going to talk art. We're going to talk picture cars, probably quite a bit of Hollywood history. Did I mention Malibu? Obviously Malibu. Fireball Tim Lawrence is here. And also Mrs. Fireball Tim Lawrence, who we're calling Kathy, but I think she's a Lawrence. So we're saying Kathy and Fireball Tim Lawrence. Fireball Tim Lawrence and Kathy Lawrence. Whatever. We'll figure it out. Yeah, we were hanging out in the green room having a grand old time anyway. With us as well, we're going to do some catch-up tonight. We weren't here for happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Forgot to mention that. Happy Valentine's Day. We weren't here. All the way up in Canada, we have Mr. Producer Mike, who's sharing his love. And as I mentioned, the pretty girl right over there sitting in the dark. Here, turn the lights on for her. There she is. There she is. All of that. And Will, take it away, would you?
I think the YouTube just froze. The YouTube is frozen.
Morning.
How's it going?
Thanks.
You too. How this looks is really only YouTube and Facebook. The Instagram is just this sort of backstage look into the what's going on over here. But with that, we'll get
excuse
the
camera
me, Jay. Up here. And yes, go ahead, buddy.
The YouTube is frozen.
Okay, well, there's nothing I can do about it, pal. We're broadcasting. All right. Here.
It's pretty cold okay. in here too.
I appreciate it, pal. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. I guess they don't like us doing what we're doing
on YouTube. There's no.
I can't answer that. This happened once before, but it's beyond my control.
I tend to smack the side of the computer. Just
that we're doing
it
today?
Doesn't help, but...
Wow. Glad we brought everybody in here early, huh? Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Kathy and Fireball Tim Lawrence. Is it Kathy and Lawrence? Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Goodness gracious. Crisis averted. We're going to be talking all about these two. Every time Fireball is here, I have a grand old time. I always... You're fun to hang out with anyway, but every time I learn something, I'm always blown away by some other thing from your past, your career, your creative history.
Well, now
I brought
one of those things.
You made her?
No, I didn't make her. She made me. Yeah. As they say, for every man, there's an incredible woman behind them. Not true. It's every man is following the incredible women.
Ah.
That's what I've learned.
Well, it's definitely true in my case.
Yeah.
You're saying you too?
Oh, yeah.
Good. That's what's going on this evening. We have had one hell of a weekend. I want to say a couple things, I guess, at the top of the show here. Breakfast Club was huge the other day. It wasn't so much the turnout. It was the energy. It was crazy energy. I think Smoking Tire came up, and I think whenever he talks about it on his show, it's different than us talking about it on our little show. We have such a small community where, like, everybody knows each other, and it's fine. When he blasts something out, it goes to the world. But he came up with some friends. He brought Eric Ploss and Andy, I'm going to butcher this last name, but the CEO of Alpina, Andy Bovensiepen, Bovensiepen. It's probably not right, but these guys were so nice. They loved GBBC because you can't not. I mean, it's just Newcomb's Ranch up there in the nature with awesome cars and people. And it was really, really cool. So thanks to the Smoking Tire for coming up and bringing them. But beyond that, Sean Lee brought a bunch of guys in the new Zs. You know, Sean Lee finally got his new Z delivered.
It's really cool.
So did Cody Walker. So Cody came up as well.
How many spaces are up there?
At Newcomb's?
Yeah.
I mean, none, really.
Yeah, right. Well, but how many,
there isn't a single line in the parking lot.
How many cars can you comfortably put in there?
Never counted. I have no clue.
Yeah. Well, I know that when Matt shows up, it's like he's bringing the world. So it would be huge.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest ones lately have been like the holiday weekends or Luft weekends, something like that, the big Porsche weekends. And then the parking lot's full. All of the little ancillary pullouts along the way are full, and the people are walking up. It's kind of weird. The toy drive was like that, too.
Yeah.
The Purist Group toy drive. I don't know. I mean, 180? 100?
Yeah.
Not that many.
I think you get a couple hundred, though.
You think a couple hundred?
Yeah, I think you probably. Well, it depends on the kind of car. You know, drink a bunch of Cadillacs, you're not going to put.
But the Fiat 500 Club, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
We got that Mini Cooper.
A bunch of Z's, yeah.
That Mini Cooper is the best. It goes anywhere in L.A. traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Zip. It seems to know how it can fit, too.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't got rid of mine, but it was amazing.
What year did you have?
I had the 02.
Oh, so and, same thing. We had the first generation.
By the time we were done with that, because we were building Minis left and right, and we had built like 60 Minis in a year, and they were 400 and 500 horse.
Well, what do you mean you were building? You mean for cars, for movies, for why?
No. I had a shop in Torrance.
See what I mean?
In 08, was it 2008? 2008, I think 2007 to, we did Street Tuner Challenge, the TV show on Speed Channel.
Yeah.
We went out to like a billion viewers. It was crazy.
Holy cow.
But we were building Mini Coopers, and they were 400 and 500 horse, but we built a drag car that was 700.
Were you changing the motors out, or were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What were you
putting
in them?
They went from, you know, we're the reason that Mini went turbo for their cars.
You guys are? You blew up the superchargers?
We blew up pretty much everything. We were racing at Englishtown, and we were breaking 5 axles a day. You know, it was.
So you were doing quarter mile, Englishtown, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Summer Nationals.
Yeah. They wanted to put a Mini on a drag strip, and we were like, why? And then, okay, well, if you want to do that, we'll go do that.
All the drag strips in this country, though, that's the one I went to as a kid. How would you pull that up? I mean, that's so bizarre. My dad took me every year to Summer National.
Yeah, Mini takes the states. We were traveling across the country with them, and then one thing led to another. They wanted us to build a drag car.
Hilarious.
So we did, but...
Well, I don't know what the hell you were driving. This little base regular stock Mini Cooper is
awesome. You don't need it. You want to have fun in the canyons? It's an amazing car.
I like that it has no horsepower. It's 160 horsepower. Yeah. Feels like double that because I guess the car's so small and light.
It's like driving a box. All the wheels are pushed to the corners.
Love that.
Weight distribution is amazing. You could drop the car with some springs and that's it. You can swap the pulley.
Yeah.
Put on a cat-back exhaust.
How big would you, or small, I guess. What would you do for the pulley? I was going to do 15%, but people are saying you can push 17.
I think I had 17. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
And then we had just a bolt-on stuff. And it's a blast. But, you know, the biggest thing that made the car act differently was to drop the car.
Really?
Yeah. The personality of the car was completely different.
Everybody says that. I love how it looks. I love how it drives now. The only thing I was thinking is maybe rear sway bar, just because I've heard that from a lot of people.
I think
helps.
A pink chrome wrap really is what
pink
you need.
Pink chrome wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah, pink and reflective. That sounds good.
Yeah, that would work.
I'll be competing with Matt for the pink cars. 2023 is the year of the pink car. 2022 was yellow. 2023 is pink car, if anybody didn't realize that. And you haven't noticed on social media yet this year.
Didn't know that at all. Yeah. It should be. Let us know when it's turquoise, because then Kathy will be in on that.
Oh, you're turquoise?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like a birthstone thing, too? Or?
It might be, actually.
Really?
I think it is. Well, it's blue.
So I don't remember who else came up, but Sean Lee and a bunch of people. Cody Walker, it was great to finally hang out with him at Breakfast Club. Yeah. And shit, now you're making me want to bring the Mini up tomorrow. We usually bring the 911 up because it's better. It holds her better. The Mini holds the road just fine, but the people inside it go flying all around.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
When did you get rid of your... Has it been 20 years?
I think I got rid of it... I bought it in 02. I think I got rid of it in 11.
Hmm.
Yeah, something like that. But it was beat to crap because, you know, we would take it out to... We raced a lot at Willow Springs, and it was a mule for what we were building. And then I keep the car. So we met Mini USA out at Willow Springs, and one of the guys says, "Can I take your car out?" And I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. He just wrecked the tires, wrecked them, right? So you get them back, and they're shriveled. There's like nothing left on this stuff. It's practically on the rims, right? And I thought, and he didn't really say anything. He didn't even say thanks. He was just like, later, right? But 2 weeks later, a full set of tires shows up at my house.
No.
Full set.
Okay.
No questions asked. Just they were the run flats, but it was like, I ruined your tires, so here you go. I'm like, okay, that's good.
That's pretty fine. Good.
Yeah. That's a good acknowledgement.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
So. Were you running stock sizes? I mean,
we were running Kumos, and no, they weren't stock because I was running. God, I had.
So he took the time to actually check what yours were and send them.
I had 20-inch chromes on them. They were awful. You know, they weighed a ton, and they just shriveled. You know,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny.
I can't believe every time you just. You're like an encyclopedia of information.
Of useless
information. No, it's all interesting to me. I'm your audience.
Okay.
Mini Cooper. Like you, no matter what I bring up, you have either a story or a connection.
I've never had an Edsel, so there's that. You know, there's a lot of things I haven't.
He's got a story for Super Mario.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right across the street now, opening tomorrow at Universal.
I probably have mentioned that to them that I'm Super Mario.
You're Super Mario?
Yeah.
So how does this work?
If you want to get, let me know if you want to get into this because this is her bag.
Yes, because I want to segue to her.
Okay.
So let's
do
it.
And I'll segue.
Do the rest of the stuff on this card later.
Okay. Right. So
we got to say hi to Mike in Canada too, by the way, who's waiting patiently.
I love Super Mario.
Yes. Good. Okay.
All right.
Also, happy belated Valentine's Day from Darren Cox. He says, and the lotto machine is broken. He didn't win the lotto. Sorry.
Aw.
And then also,
I hate when that happens.
The Letterman podcast. Oh, sorry. It might be frozen. You might want to watch the feed on Facebook. Thank you, buddy. That's a good producer over there. Okay, Fireball Tim, you've got the floor.
Many years ago, Kathy is a costume builder in the film industry. She started out with Sid and Marty Krofft. She worked on H.R. Puff and stuff.
Wow.
Tremendous history as a costume builder. And I was working on some commercials. I was storyboarding and concept stuff. And I was working with an art director who our offices were right next to each other in Santa Monica. And he was walking up the stairs, and he looked in and saw Kathy's stuff. And she goes, what does your wife do? And I said, oh, she builds costumes. He goes, boy, do I have a job for you guys.
As in you too?
Yeah, because we worked together. So I would run the business side of her business.
Okay, you already knew each other. I thought this was like a how we met type of deal.
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
We met at Imagineering.
So you had an office in Santa Monica that you both shared for your professional
Above
lives.
The Ore House, the famous Ore House. We had the second floor. That's where
Excuse
our
office me?
Is. The Ore House.
Ah.
The Ore House, okay. So
for the podcast listeners, just making sure.
Yeah. So it turns out that the client was Nintendo. The ad agency was Leo Burnett.
And
they wanted to build walk around characters of all the Nintendo characters for upcoming commercials. And now many of you have probably seen those commercials over the years since I think 1999. There's Super Smash Brothers, which won an award. And we did about 30 commercials, and Kathy built I don't know how many of these characters.
Every Nintendo character.
Multiple versions of Mario, multiple versions of yes.
Every single one of these characters in the games we played are two dimensions. No matter which direction they're facing, they're two dimensions.
She built three-dimensional versions that we wore in the commercials.
Wow.
And I was Super Mario. I wore the costume.
Wow.
And I had a contract that I could not walk from the green room or wherever I changed to set with the head off. I was either
like Disney.
I was either Fireball or I was either Mario. And I chose to always be Mario because you walk.
Because you're a method actor.
Yeah, right. And then you see kids and you see things, right? You don't want to ruin it because Mario is real. Just so you guys know, Mario is actually real. But as an alter ego, we flew to Vancouver multiple times. We went to the Virgin Islands. We shot in Greece. We would get calls from Leo Burnett saying, have you guys ever been to Athens before? And we're like, no. And then, okay, all right, I'll call you back. And that's it. And then 5 minutes later,
people know Leo Burnett was like one of the principal advertising agencies of our generation. Yeah.
I applied there. Like, it was a big deal.
It was like Wieden Kennedy and them.
The most incredible group of people.
Oh, such
amazing
good people.
So we spent the better part of 10 to 15 years, Kathy, building these costumes, me working on film and stuff, and then performing.
That was a job that carried you for a decade and a half?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy
shit. And the way that kind of evolved was, I'm working building these costumes. You've got to try the head on, see how the vision is, see if you can breathe, and the body, make sure it all works. So I'd be calling him in, could you try this on for me? And he did. God. And then all of a sudden I realized he should be wearing these. He's going to make me look good.
You're making it for him.
Right.
And now he's got the most experience
because
in the suit.
That's right. You get an actor in that has never been in these costumes. They are stiff. I can't breathe.
That's
you know?
What they focus on instead of what they're saying and doing.
Right. And he would put up with anything.
Of course.
He said spiders in the costumes, and he's like, didn't say a word.
I knew what the limitations of the costume were because I was there when it was built. And most actors that we ever worked with, you know, right away they're like, oh, this is a little itchy. This doesn't fit right. Or, you know,
but you're not going to overflex it. You're not going to break stuff.
Oh, I didn't care about breaking stuff because I knew that she would fix it on set. Mm-hmm. So I could push the limits of the costumer beyond that. And we literally, we had guys jumping out of airplanes at 12,000 feet wearing a, what was it?
Banjo-Tooie.
Banjo-Tooie.
He's jumped in a swimming pool wearing Yoshi and sunk to the bottom.
Almost drowned.
He had to be saved.
Yeah.
Oh, because the suit filled with water? Or just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Kathy's built some very interesting things over the years. She built Cujo because they couldn't get a dog.
The attack dog?
They couldn't get a dog to slam his head into the side of the car, so they built a costume for that. They built St. Bernard costumes for Dobermans.
Right.
Because they couldn't train the St. Bernard.
No way. So that they would. You're kidding
me. So the Dobermans wore the St. Bernard costume.
For what? Like Beethoven?
No. For Cujo.
For Cujo.
Oh, I forgot that there were St. Bernards.
Yeah, they were St. Bernards.
Well, it was one. And he got
Cujo.
Rabies, and he got.
Oh,
meat.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I thought Cujo was a. Was he the St. Bernard?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh shoot! Yeah. Then I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
No.
It's an old movie, but.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff over the years. I mean, she did the Grinch with Jim Carrey.
I was at Universal for that in '99 or 2000.
The monkey that slammed him in the head. She built that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I was. We're doing something else, but I remember all of that time because they took over half the lot.
She built
Santa's
sack
stage.
Do you remember that? They took over for like a year of Universal.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I got to drive on the lot, park right in front of my own soundstage, built the giant monkey, built all sorts of great things. And at lunchtime, we would jump the fence and go into
Jurassic
rides.
Park ride. Yeah, we would do the same thing.
Yeah.
We would do the same thing.
Because awesome.
It was anytime it was hot in the summer, you go cool off Jurassic Park because you could sneak in the little gate A.
Yeah.
So funny.
Back when you could just get on the lot pretty easily, too. I mean, you could.
Universal
just...
sign was just wave at the gate.
Yeah.
When I first moved
What's
here.
What's up, guard man? And he's like, go on in.
I think pretty much before 9/11, it was like, you could just sort of.
You could talk
as long as they knew you a couple times, you were fine.
We did a lot of really interesting stuff over the years, but the most amazing thing was that, you know, as an actor, if you're working for a day on something, you're getting a day rate, and I think it was like $500 for the day or something. But if you end up doing a stunt, then it's a day plus, so you get maybe 700 or something like that. But if it's a regional commercial, you get to pay a certain amount. If it's a national commercial, like Nintendo was.
Oh.
We did one commercial for one day, and we didn't even work the whole day. But I did what they called to be a stunt. And then over the following year, I got $70,000 in residuals.
Gee, it must have been international, too, maybe.
No, it was just national. Just national.
Wow.
And I thought, we need to do a few
more commercials.
Of
those. Yeah.
Those commercials, right? You know? And so we ended up doing about 30, I think 32 commercials over about maybe 12, 15 years, something like that.
This is amazing to me.
Yeah.
And then the whole idea just changed. It just wasn't in anymore. They loved us. And the cool thing was they loved us because they knew we would deliver on time. We'd be on the set. We'd be there early, get everything all set, So it was just a great.
If you're easy to work with and you do good work, it's amazing.
And when someone says, you'll never work in this town again, all you got to do is be late. You know, all you got to do is show up on set with the wrong wardrobe. Right? It's not hard to get ousted out of the film industry. It's hard to stay in because you have to be on time. You got to be reliable. You got to be easy to work with. You know, there's a lot of traits, and there are people in the film industry are very
like
high level.
You just have to want to be there, and then you just show up, which is kind of like the rule of life. It's kind of like if somebody else is going to work harder at this thing than you, they're going to get it.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Exactly.
He's been a wallet. We did a Pizza Hut commercial where it was like you're saving money by going to Pizza Hut.
Everybody knows that.
I built like 3 wallets, and he was in one of the wallets, and the director goes, I didn't know a wallet could actually have a personality. So he would make his wallet, you know, all happy.
I shook my wallet booty is what I did.
Everyone else just walked in there and you brought something to the part.
That's but, you know, right. But interesting that, you know, Kathy as a builder, you know, she's never built the same thing twice. So there's an invention process. Mm-hmm. And I'm always fascinated. I've been behind the curtain for the last 30 years watching her build a lot of these things. And I'm still fascinated with the fact that I have never met a single person that can do what she does.
And well, literally, and like you say,
there's groups of people.
Two-dimensional characters.
That's the hard part.
So you start to build, and he would go, how do you know what's going on around the other side? Uh-huh. And I'd go, actually, I don't. You just start. Yeah. It's a sculpture.
Right.
And so I'd be,
it's a sculpture that's
around.
Easy to get wrong, though.
Oh,
I remember, speaking around the same time frame, Simpsons were very big. And I remember the Simpsons coming out with, like, I don't know, plush dolls or plastic, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
And their three-dimensional versions of their two-dimensional versions were a little bit weird for me back at the time. They've since gotten better over the years. But it was something even as a kid I noticed. I was like, nope, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But
which shows that it's an actual art to get it right.
Right. And there's other things, too. There's the ergonomics of it. So that the person wearing it has to be able to have a certain amount of visibility. You got to be able to have hearability, and that when the director says cut, you actually cut, and you don't keep performing and fall off the side of the stage or anything like that.
Or the truck or whatever apparatus you're in playing game character.
We'd have to educate a client and say they're adamant about having fans inside the heads to keep the wearers cool. And I said, well, you can do that, but then you can't hear when hey, stop, there's a little kid in front of you or something like that. So, you know, there's certain things that you learn along the way. And honestly, we showed up on time. Yeah. We got the job done, and I think that's why they kept calling, is there's only a few builders in the world that does what Kathy does. And there's really nobody that does film-based stuff, or commercials.
I really concern myself with the vision. But one of the costumes that I had to do for Nintendo was a finger. It was just, you know, it's like this finger was cut off. And
like the whole body was just in one finger?
Yeah.
Okay.
No arms,
and I
nothing.
Said, you know, there is no place for me to hide the vision. Because it has, your finger doesn't
it'll be a
have
fingerprint,
eyeballs.
Right.
So I said, you are going to have a costume with no vision. So he'd have to just look at the ground
straight
and shuffle.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And trust us.
And Kirby, if you guys know Kirby.
Which finger was it, just out of curiosity?
This one.
Oh, I figure. Just asking.
Yeah. Oh, the two weirdest things she's ever built, and I'm going to try to be.
Tell.
No, I'm going to tell. She built. Can I say bad words? Am I allowed to say bad words?
You can do whatever you want. You're representing yourself.
Okay. She built George Michael's ass.
Oh, I thought for sure this was going to be penis after the finger. Mm-hmm. I thought penis for sure.
That's number two.
That was number two. Okay, so George Michael's ass, that was done for the VH1 Awards.
He needed a stunt and ass? Is that what it
no,
was?
No, it was a guy, just a dude in a tuxedo that wore a big ass on his
awful.
Head, and it was really weird.
And you know where the vision was.
You know. And then she got a call from a client, which I think was MTV.
Yeah.
And they wanted, there's the initial request that they wanted a penis costume. And they wanted it to be a functional penis costume.
And I'm like, no.
Functional
so
we're,
penis costume.
Oh, so it can pee and stuff, urinate and whatever it needs to do.
It can do things.
Then.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. It can change. It can ET itself.
We're going to move on from
ET?
That.
ET?
Yeah.
ET?
So, but
no.
The,
no, not
the
that
weirdest
one.
Thing.
What else would it do? What else can one do? Fireballs.
The other request is they requested that it be a female penis. Is what they requested.
All right.
And that's when I got stumped. I've never been stumped on a costume before. And I said, what makes a female penis.
Looney Tunes. Got to go Looney Tunes.
And they said, oh, it should wear a dress.
Yeah, wig and boobs.
That was it. Yeah, exactly.
You got to Looney Tunes it.
It didn't have wig on it because it still had to do its thing.
You've got to discuss these things when you're making them. So we have to discuss
like this.
The round shapes at the bottom.
The only costume we've never posted that costume. No. It's probably the only costume we won't post.
And I always say, please don't tell anybody.
Did the client use it, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a true dick pic, though. It's just really
Did you see somebody stole the cat off the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile the other day?
Yes.
The catalytic converter off the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah, that's really sad. It's really sad.
I buzz it. Dick move.
It's a low blow, yeah.
Low blow. Oh, yeah, nice.
So, a lot of neat stuff, though.
I did Ellen DeGeneres for 17 years, her Christmas mascot. So that was always a challenge.
On her show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Every Christmas she comes out the 12 days.
Years.
Yeah. Well, she
longer,
was on 21. For 19 years, and I came in after 2 years.
When they moved to Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Is that right? They were at NBC at first.
Oh, they were? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So all the, you know, all the weird costumes that bring out all the gifts and all that stuff, Kathy.
And once again, back to, you deal with their deadline, whatever it is, and you are on time because they're shooting. You know, they didn't, you know, costume arrives and they shoot it.
Yeah, no excuses.
Yeah, just hold up a $10 million shoot and you can just go home.
As a matter of fact, the Woolsey fire came through Malibu. At this point, we no longer had our shop in Santa Monica. I used my backyard. So we built a tent, and I built back there. So the fire comes. I have got Ellen's reindeer in my backyard, and I'm like, we have policemen going up and down our street saying, mandatory evacuation. And we're like, nope, not going to do it. I've got the reindeer to finish. So I'm working.
I'm going to ruin Christmas if I leave right now.
Oh, this is not happening.
I'm shaking.
We're not leaving.
Because I can see smoke, and I go, okay, we'll know when it's time to go. And in the evening, I'd say, we've got to put the reindeer in the truck and point the truck downhill in case we've really got to go.
Wow.
Well, I finished the reindeer.
We were one of only maybe 10 people that were left in Malibu. PCH became an all southbound lanes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everybody left. We literally walked from our house, which is 3 miles from town. We walked in the middle of PCH all the way into town and didn't see a single person in 3 miles.
Wow.
It was spooky.
On the days that she wasn't necessarily working, waiting for things to dry or something like that.
Right.
So I heard that was a crazy time. All the horses were down at the beach and everything.
Yes.
That was
down
crazy.
At Duke's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Then we thought, we've got to deliver. And of course, we've got to deliver on time. But we go, if we leave Malibu, they will not let us back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now we've already kind of blown it because all the
hotels. We're supposed to be gone anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Warner Brothers, the driver in the truck, met us at the demarcation line. And we pull up our truck to the line.
So you didn't leave Malibu.
With a cop standing on the line, we had to hand the reindeer to the truck driver, who wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed to put anything in the car, in the truck.
They just drove, and props, right? They're two different
unions.
Exactly. Right.
But he said, okay, I'll just take it. And we handed over it. While this cop is looking at us, give us this big reindeer to this guy.
And he's saying, you can't cross the line. If you do, you can't come back.
Yeah.
So that's our dedication. The show must go on.
And it did.
It did. Yeah.
Thank God you were all right.
I never even knew.
No, I'm sure I never heard about it. I'm sure we would have heard about it if she knew.
It was tough, though, because we actually drove through town and we saw, because I was vlogging at that time, and there was people back east that were finding out whether their houses were still there or not by watching the vlog. And it was really hard to get calls from people saying, I just saw that my house is gone from your episode, and it was, you know, devastating. It was really a tough and unique time, you know.
We saw cars burning, still smoldering.
It feels like a million years ago, but it was only like 3 or 4 years ago, right? 19?
No, it's more than that, because COVID's 3 or 4 years ago now, isn't it?
Yep, but doing the math, it was 2020 was COVID, like March of 2020 was when everything shut down.
Yeah.
And it was, I think Woolsey was 19.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems like a million years ago, and then driving through now and watching things get rebuilt still is nice and reassuring. For me, it's all the nature that has grown back. That's where
But how about them car shows?
Back to Malibu. That's right. Well, you know, I wanted to talk about it with you because you probably the first car show we probably ever went to in Malibu was probably Wheels and Waves because it was occurring right in front of us when we were sitting at the other place.
Yeah.
Mm. You always had, you know, Dick Van Dyke or the guy from a friend of yours from Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his real name, but yeah, we knew him too from Comic-Con. You always had somebody there, and it was just always kind of a fun thing. I'm very fascinated by what's going on in the world of Malibu and car shows right now because I feel like we're getting back to what it used to be, which was if you want to have an event, you need to permit it, let everyone know, get the cops involved for traffic control or whatever,
right?
And then you're golden.
Yeah.
And it seemed like to me like maybe there was a little cowboy Old West area for a long time where everyone was sort of just between the rules. And now that the authorities are trying to tighten up the rules again, everyone's pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate to me, observing this whole thing, because we talked before the show about this. We feel for both parties. We're on both sides of this thing. What's going on with you and you guys? How does it affect you? How does it affect your show? What are you doing?
Well, it affects us in that, you know, we're in town and I feel like I'm in the newspaper every single week for one thing or another, you know, with some of the car shows and stuff. But I think it's important.
In a good way, right?
Yeah, always in a good way. I mean, okay. I mean, I think it's important. You're not going to out-please everybody all the time, right? And with car shows, you bring out a lot of personalities. And those personalities are conveyed in the vehicles and the way that they drive and a lot of these things. In general, car shows themselves are always positive. You know, there's... Even the car show that was kind of the fiasco that brought out 1,200 people and 800 cars at the Malibu Country Mart, the show in itself, when you're in the show, you're having a great time, and there's really not a lot of negativity. There's not a lot of bad things that happen in the show, other than I don't like the color of that Lambo versus that one, you know. But I think that COVID really affected people a lot psychologically. It really increase the anxiety that people have, and their need to get out was almost tenfold. And I think we're still experiencing a lot of that in the way people drive, the way people conduct themselves.
The letting loose kind of thing.
Yeah, is that you know when you're constricted, and you're told we lived at the beach and they closed the frickin' beaches down. We could go to a beach and sit on the sand by ourselves, and they didn't want you to do that. We weren't even allowed to sit by ourselves with nobody around because they implemented these rules.
But those
rules were implemented out of fear. All of that stuff was implemented out of fear. We don't really know what this is. Mm-hmm. We're doing our best. And the city is nothing but a group of people just like us doing their best to try and convey the best operations for the city. And some of them are really good at it, and some of them suck at it. Just like some drivers are really good and some drivers suck. Right?
There's
lots of people that are really good at their jobs and a lot of people are bad at their jobs. It doesn't mean they're not trying. It doesn't gel with them. And there's people in the city that really want the best for Malibu and strive and work really hard. And we do our best, whether we're doing that or not, you know, I don't know. We just do our best. But there are some people that are more challenged. They don't necessarily make the best decisions all the time. They don't necessarily know what to do for this particular problem. Mm-hmm. They're doing the best they can, and they make mistakes. And that's the truth. And when I was young, there's something I know now that I didn't know when I was 22, and that is I know what it's like to be 57. Right? And
life's
perspective,
right?
Yeah, and I know the consequences for my actions. And this is why I have so much respect for you guys, because Good Vibes could have been, hey, Newcomb's Ranch Car Show. It could have been, hey, Porsche Car Show. But you guys chose Good Vibes because you believe it's very important to get out there and to share something that brings value to people's lives in some way, right? And you know that what you put out comes back to you. This is what you learn as you get older, right? 22,
golden rule, baby.
You don't get this. 22 is, I'm going to put whatever the hell out there, and I'm going to take whatever I can get. And I get that.
Figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out along the way. But as you get older, the consequences become more severe. You know, it's like I don't go for runs now. I go for hikes because
you know,
I did 30 years of martial arts. I'm not going to be throwing, jump spinning back kicks and things like that as I did.
Were you the karate kid too?
No.
All right.
Karate Kid 3. No.
Ah, okay. No.
His last jump spinning back kick, he goes, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't able to walk for the next 2 days.
Did you throw your back out or you popped a hip or something?
No, my back and stuff. But yeah, you learn, right? Same thing with driving. Okay, same thing with driving. The problem with any car show is never the show itself. The shows are always great because the people that put the shows on they're trying to give something of value to those that come.
Yeah.
To share our love of cars, to share that experience, have some good coffee, swap stories, and share time with each other. And that's important.
Yeah.
But when people come out to the show and they drive a way that's contrary to the rules of the road, I'm not saying don't come out to Malibu and drive 100 miles an hour. I'm not saying don't drive to Malibu and not put a front license plate on. I'm not saying don't tint your windows. I'm just saying that as a 57-year-old, there are consequences that you might experience mm-hmm. for pushing those things.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you can drive fast. I mean, at almost every single Saturday night, there are 100 cars that come through Malibu going 100-plus miles an hour. They rock through town, right?
Hear it.
And
some of them
cops
sound like jet planes.
Yeah, the cops do, right? And I understand why they do it, because it's just fun, right? If I was 22 and doing that, it would be a blast. We'd be looking forward to it. But the consequences, which have not happened yet for some of them, I had a friend named Dano that loved going and seeing car shows. And he took a friend of his who was a teenager, and they went and saw a drag race that was an illegal drag race. The cars ran out of control, and Dana was killed. Mm.
As a spectator.
As a spectator. Mm-hmm. And I have seen too many people killed on PCH in front of my house that I've had to go down and hold their hand as they die. Mm. That's not something I wish on anyone. But that's been my experience. I know what it's like to drive that way and to see the consequences firsthand. And those that come out to Malibu and they want to do things the way that they want, they can. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if there's a cop there, he's going to give you a ticket. You can't blame the cop. He's just doing his job, just like your job.
Yeah.
They want the town to be safe, but there isn't a cop in any town that wouldn't want their town to be safe. I want you guys to come out. I want you to enjoy yourselves. We're working on having a show at the shopping center where Spruzzo's is.
Yeah, across from Zuma Beach.
But in order to do that, the rules are that you have to have a TUP. You have to have a temporary use permit.
Right.
The building is owned by Mike Malamud, is a good friend, and we want to give people a great experience. Mm-hmm. I can't stop people from driving poorly if they come out there. And if they do, I have to take responsibility for that.
I don't agree with that.
Well, it's my show. I'm bringing people out there.
And all right. Well, if you're drawing them there, okay, man, I guess I see that. But that I don't – how somebody decides to – that's not your
But the show gets blamed. The show gets blamed, and the city looks at it that way. You guys brought this up. You're putting this event together.
Right.
But
it wouldn't be here if you didn't start your show. Okay,
right.
I get that.
But as a TUP, the cops are not going to show up in full force with a 6 units – when we've gotten a permit.
From my experience, it used to be when you go apply for one of those things, you used to have to do it in person. I don't know if you still do, but
no,
you go down to the you used to go to in person, and then and it's probably all a form now, but you would estimate what the amount of people you're, and then based on that estimation, they would tell you how many cops you need for traffic and or whatever for regulatory stuff. Sometimes you just need one off-duty officer on a motorcycle that you're paying $300 or whatever their rate is, and then you're square. Sometimes you have to hire two, and they're in the middle of the road, and they're blocking.
It's more
whatever.
Flexible now. It's more flexible. It's not like that.
But it feels like as long as you go through the whatever the bureaucratic steps that you need to go through, that, listen, this is how we do it. Like you said, it's people, but it's a town. There are rules. You got to do this stuff. If you go through those steps, it seems like nobody will have a problem.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, it's because it has to go to the city council to get approved. They have to think about it. Do we want to have this? Just because I apply for a TUP and I pay $700 for the show or anything else.
Is that how much it is?
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Ugh.
You know, it's important to us that we want to do this. We want to create this so it's not that bad, right?
Yeah.
A neighbor, we also have to pay for a mailing that goes out to any neighbor within 500 feet. And if a neighbor says, I don't want this to happen near my house, they can go and they can to the city council, and they can say, I don't want this to happen, and it can get shut down.
Luckily, there's no neighbors at your at 500 feet of that. Or is it all the different businesses?
There are some neighbors behind the building. You know, like I said, and I'm not going to fight this. You know, I'm not in a position to fight anything. You know, I tend to roll with things because I just want to put out a positive vibration. And I always feel that
Malibu used to be go with the flow, baby. What the hell happened?
Well, you know, the thing is that show that came, it really threw everything for a loop, and COVID and all that stuff.
Can I throw one other little monkey wrench in here?
Yeah.
Car shows and Cars and Coffee to me are two different things. Now, they're probably not different things anymore. They're probably all the same hodgepodge. But back in the day, they were different things.
Yeah.
A car show was what you were talking about, of we are all planning this event and we're going to meet at a certain place at a time. A Cars
Awards
and Coffee
and
was always,
stuff.
Yes, yeah. exactly. Yeah. Tents and vendors and sponsors usually, there's money involved. Cars and Coffee was always the opposite of that. It was always, they always sort of, the first one just sort of popped up by people who lived in the area who were getting coffee and went on Sunday drives and had their cool car out, and then people started, you know how it goes from there. To me, they're fundamentally different. What happened in Malibu over COVID was a Cars and Coffee because there was no organizer. We all thought it was you for a few minutes, and it wasn't you.
That's
like,
why I got
a cease and desist
from attorneys. I got nasty emails from the cops.
Because it simply was in the same geographical location that you used to New York.
yeah, that's all it was.
But my point being, I think if it were an actual event, if somebody actually ever did take responsibility for it and get the permit or whatever, it probably would have been allowed to continue.
Of course. It would have. Yeah. It would have.
You think so,
but
too?
It also, you know, when you have someone that's captaining the ship, then you have someone who's saying to people online before they come out, hey, look, no burnouts. I mean, think about Dustin Troyan, who runs Supercar Sunday. Super guy has been running.
Is that still going?
He's been going for 24 years.
That's amazing. I thought it got shut down.
No.
That's awesome.
No, and it's at Pierce College. An amazing show.
Oh,
I highly recommend
it. Okay. But it used to be Woodland Hills in the mall there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But the way he does it, he's very adamant about this strict this policy about awareness, right? Awareness is, and it doesn't guarantee it because guys still launch from the light when they leave and stuff. But for the most part, he makes the best attempt, but he also has a very good relationship with the cops, right? And the cops come there, they make a presence. Having a cop at a show is not that he's policing everybody. From their standpoint is that what if something bad happens? What if two cars crash into each other? What if someone has a heart attack? What if something bad happens with a large group of people and there's nobody there? There's nobody there to do anything for that. That's the way that they look at it, you know. And you know, Jen C2, who's the chief in Malibu, she's adamant about making the town safe, you know, and having a police presence, but she doesn't have the resources that she needs to be able to handle a town like that when we go from a town of 10,000 people on during the week to a town of 300,000 on the weekend.
That's how many people come in?
300,000 people
That's
on the weekend.
That's huge.
Right?
Holy moly.
And they have limited resources. So, you know,
those are people doing things in Malibu, or they're passing through? Regardless, they're traveling through
Malibu.
Holy
they're generally tourists. They're coming and having lunch and going to the beach and doing all that stuff.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a tourist town. So we want people to be safe. We don't want you to come out and bring your nice car or even your POS. Come out to Malibu and something bad happens. The lightest case scenario is you're stalled out there for 6 hours in traffic because you can't get out. Or worst case, you've been involved in an accident that sends you to the Graymar Motel or to the hospital. We don't want those things to happen to people. We want people to enjoy themselves.
The old Gray Bar Hotel. I didn't know people still said that. That's hilarious. My dad used to say that.
Not a fun place. Kathy's been several times, and that'll be another story. I'm not joking. Hey, we got a couple things for you guys.
Of course you do. You never come empty-handed. What's going on here, Fireball? I love styrofoam.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
I found these out on the street, the styrofoam box. I thought you guys needed. No,
I could carve that and turn that into
something.
See,
I'm thinking this is art for you. This is a blank canvas.
So part of the creation of product for Fireball Publishing is to create unique stuff that has a high usage value. And I couldn't think of anything more usage value. You got three mugs on your table there, but you don't have one of these, which I thought, because this has your car on it.
Oh, holy cow. You surprised the hell out of me with this the other day. I was not expecting this at all, and I love that you put the good vibes there instead of the what would be a licensable type of.
That would be a scary problem.
But this is fantastic.
Awesome.
That's for Nicole.
Oh my gosh, you guys!
You guys are awesome.
This is amazing.
So
your artwork's amazing, but you also your turnaround's pretty damn quick too. Because I feel like it was just a couple days ago that you showed.
I can pretty much get them from start to finish. From starting an idea, like if you said, hey, I'd like to have a Ferrari 250 or something, By the end of the day, the mug would be up and available worldwide.
Oh, my God.
So the goal is to do 500 mugs and try to make sure that there's a mug for everybody, you know. So we're covering our bases from supercars and hypercars to Porsches to hot rods to movie cars, and they're just a lot of fun to do. I did Magnus's Porsche.
I saw that one came out this week. Yeah. I love it.
So they're a lot of fun to do, and I just think it makes it personal, and we do a lot of custom stuff for people as well. So
it's amazing, but both of you, your eyes for detail are so, it's, there's so much more here than just the car. I mean, you know, you've hot rodded the car out, but all of our stuff is there, but you still see the canyon and the reflection. There's so much,
and you can't
detail
see the dog that's pooping on the other side of the car, but
that's I can see it from the inside though, so whenever I take a sip
a little added flavor there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And how? I mean, you have mugs, coloring books is what I think of first.
We have about 60 books, and we're branching out of cars just a little bit. With that, we have a client, Heather Edwards, who has a company called Dog and Dragon. She's an amazing illustrator, so we're doing a book with her.
Wow.
She does dragons. She was an illustrator for Disney.
Oh.
So we're doing those, and more car stuff coming. But the mugs are really fun, and of course, you know, the goal for me is to work in film. So I'm making calls on a daily basis, and I've literally made thousands of calls over the last year or so.
And you're saying, I want my mugs in your movies?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's what you're saying. What do you mean for you to be in film?
It's just a little product placement.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's
but you
it's
do storyboards mainly? Is that what
no,
we're
no,
thinking?
No, concept art.
Oh,
concept
beautiful.
Art. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Good.
So I get called when the studio wants to create keyframes. They want to secure $250 million for a movie, but they don't know what the movie looks like. So mm-hmm. they'll hire me to come up with ideas for that and stuff. But that's transcending almost into what we're doing with the city. So we have a new art gallery that's the Malibu City Gallery that's at City Hall.
What?
And we have and I can announce this for the first time. I'll tell you guys for the first time. No one's heard this yet.
Drum roll.
I don't know. What are you going to say?
So we have our next show is with Pep Williams. He's an incredible photographer.
Mm. Pep
Williams.
Love it.
Yeah, he shoots inmates.
From the Gray Barbell
Hell? Yeah, riding skateboards.
Right.
Yeah, he's a Dogtown skater, original Dogtown skater.
Oh, wow.
No
yeah.
way.
Amazing photographer, mm-hmm. yes. But after him, we have Jane Seymour. Jane's going to be doing a
Dr.
One,
Quinn, the medicine
that's
worm.
Right, yeah.
Oh, her little town burned down, though.
We're not going to have the town in there. But
oh, okay.
But her art, yeah.
Didn't they used to shoot that at the ranch, didn't they?
They
did.
The
Paramount Ranch.
Yeah,
right.
It's gone.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if they're rebuilding that, are they?
I feel like they have to.
They should.
Why not? I mean, it takes nothing to build up a little.
They're doing it every day at the studio. Might as well do it there.
Just you remember what it was made of in the old days.
Oh, yeah.
It was no surprise it went up like that.
Yeah.
Still sad that it's not there, though, I think.
Yeah,
I think
it was a fun place, and we even shot there. We shot a few things there. But
for me, it's the old racetrack. Like, the history of the old racetrack me is so cool.
We shot a Western there, and we had real guns, and, you know, they looked like real guns. And the,
where are you going with
the,
this?
And the one of the docents or whoever, the ranger, came by and says, you can't have those guns here.
They weren't
so
real.
It was a comedy. So we ended up using finger guns.
Oh,
and
hilarious.
It ended up being the best thing ever. It was the funniest version.
Simply because they said you can't have these out
right.
while
so
you're...
So we abandoned the guns altogether. We hadn't even started shooting. And we started, everyone started finger guns. And we started thinking, how do we make the trigger noise and how do we... Double shot. We were doing this kind of stuff,
yeah.
And it was hysterical. It ended up working out great.
It sounds way funnier.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot funnier. Yeah. They should rebuild it.
You mentioned H.R. Puff and stuff before. I mean, I actually never was. I didn't watch the show, but I have friends who were obsessed with the show.
I know.
I know there was a big the guy, the H.R. Puff. Is that something that you made?
Well, actually not, because that was the beginning of my career.
Okay.
But I worked on refurbishing. But
really?
That's how I started.
Wow.
When I walked into Sid and Marty Krofft, that's what they were doing. And I'm like, I didn't know how to do anything. So I thought.
But you knew you wanted to.
I knew I wanted to. I mean, when I said, I'll start by sweeping the floors. And they were busy. So they got,
You were doing more than sweeping the floors.
She worked on Banana Splits. And
Banana
I was
Splits.
On the show.
Really?
As a little kid.
As a kid actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And the New Zoo Review. We did all those big shows.
Grew up with the New Zoo Review. Nobody remembers it. Everyone remembers Zubily Zoo. New Zoo Review was great.
Yeah.
You get the pig, the frog,
yeah,
the little land.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Zoo Review. I mean, that's the right one, right? With the frog and the pig and all
yeah.
that?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, I remember.
Wasn't there
sure.
an elephant? No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I think. No,
was
maybe
there
wasn't.
Or an owl.
Yeah, there was an owl. But the glasses and everything. Uh-huh. There was definitely an owl. It's hilarious. This is the stuff I grew up with. This was like the secret guard. This was fantasy land. And she's like, no, I was there. It was real.
Yeah. I have no idea. We did Comic-Con.
Hang on. Let's check out. The producer, Mike, was a fan of all those things. And he's the same age. Do you remember Newsy Review? Did they have that in Canada?
All right. You got to remember I'm Canadian. So we had Mr. Dress-Up and the Friendly Giant. With Casey and Finnegan, who are little puppets. I know what you're talking about, but we didn't have it up here.
It's the News Who Review coming right at you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sean Bishop, if he were here tonight, he would be losing his shit tonight. Because between HR Puff and stuff and the News Who Review. And then what else? You said other things, but I stopped right there on News Who Review.
Banana splits.
Banana splits.
A lot of you did a lot of stuff. A regular wardrobe. You know, she worked on Concord 79 as a costume designer.
Somewhere in time.
Yeah.
My friend directed that. Janos Vark.
Oh wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Wow.
He also directed Jaws too, yes, which is why you like it. But he's the most proud of his film Somewhere in Time. Christopher Reeve, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never actually have seen it. I need
Somewhere in Time?
Yes, I know. And it was in our queue for $4.99.
Stop this right now and go watch it.
Oh my
I know.
God.
Yeah.
It's, all right, tonight.
That's
maybe
how
tonight.
Good it is.
Have you seen
this
it?
Weekend, this oh. weekend.
It's probably...
He said it's his most important movie he ever made.
Yeah, it's my favorite film. It's probably one of the greatest love stories ever written. It's extraordinary. Mm. Yeah.
And beautiful.
Yeah, really well done. It takes place on Mackinac Island.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Gene Seymour was in it. So when she does our show, she's going to bring that dress from that movie, and Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, she's going to have that dress there on display at the gallery.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That's in June.
Does she live in Malibu?
Yeah, she lives on...
Yes, of course. Wow, that was... Whoa. We're live. We can't even take it out. Almost, holy cow.
Yeah.
What's her number?
Talk about a shit show. Yeah, almost is it's a mile.
We've done a few times, mainly about like this particular location by accident, or a guest has, and we're like, "What's going on? What are we doing?" You forget. I want to talk more about you. What else? What do you want to do? What are you working on right now?
Oh, you know what? I think I'm working on retirement.
Are you?
So.
Are you happy with that?
She's literally built thousands of costumes.
I've worked since I was 18 doing this. And it's super stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, with the deadlines.
That's because you always show up on time.
That's right. But, when we did Nintendo, as well as many other characters that were famous, they have to be right. You know, we take a picture of the sculpture of the head, send it to Leo Burnett, then Leo Burnett would send it to Japan, and they would say, okay, the cheek needs to come up a quarter of an inch.
One of the hardest things that she
really
ever built was Pikachu.
It's a really particular business.
Very
like
particular.
You have to get every angle accurate because people want that.
I mean,
this
I guess
is their character.
The character is an asset for them, right? As a company and a corporation,
but
it has to be represented properly.
A cartoon character that's
it's
this
like
big.
It's like little things.
I know, and it's
how
pixelated.
Do you make that ergonomically 5 feet high, right?
Right.
But I just
you
mentioned
have to take license.
Right. The hardest thing that I ever saw her go through was building Pikachu. Because Pikachu is not like a little ball. It's not like a little egg. It's got haunches. They were very particular about that.
He's got like a little lightning bolt on him.
Yeah. Is that a Nintendo thing, Pikachu?
Pikachu, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, no, you've got to move it a quarter inch this way, a little bit. And you're like, oh. It just has to be right.
But in the end, it is right.
Yeah.
It was a surreal experience because we would hire Kathy's ex-husband, Bob, who's an amazing sculptor. He worked on Blade Runner as a sculptor. And
oh, wow.
A lot of history.
Worked with your previous husband together? Did you work together as a team as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Special effects company.
Wow.
So here we are in the Virgin Islands.
What was the special effect?
Hang
on.
I'm wearing...
Tim, we'll get to you in your story. What was the special effect company?
Well, that's where we did Cujo and Monsters. And
the TV show Monsters?
No. Just any kind of monster.
Oh, I see.
If
okay.
we need a monster, we would make it.
There was a show called Monsters, too.
Oh, well, what, you probably worked on
the,
it.
What are some of the films that you guys worked on?
Oh, man, I'm blank right at the moment, but I did all of Charlie Band's low-budget movies.
Some Roger Corman stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
Roger
my gosh.
Corman. We worked with the biggest makeup artists, Stan Winston, John Chambers, Tom Berman.
Wow.
Because we were kind of in the early stages of effects that now... you just do CG.
Yeah. Right. But back then, everyone was kind of pulling in from different departments to, oh, how can we contribute to make this, whatever this is, be?
Right. I mean, if
there's so many movies in that time period. I'm thinking of Harry and the Hendersons. They were using animatronics. They were using wardrobe and a costume.
Effects. Mm-hmm.
Makeup effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was an incredible time of change, that because all this technology was coming in, but it hadn't gotten to the point as CG has now. So a lot of the things that these guys used to work on, they would never do now.
Yeah.
Right.
You wouldn't even call it. Not able to continue. Like Jurassic Park was one of the first. We did not work on it, as Stan Winston did, but they sculpted the top half of the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So that was practical. You could touch it.
Yeah, the T-Rex. It was on that big crane thing. They used to have it in 747.
And then CG the rest of it.
Right.
So that was the era that we were just starting to see our career was not going to continue in doing that stuff. Which is why then I started doing these, what we call walk-around costumes.
Mm-hmm. Walk-around costumes.
Characters.
I worked with Stan on a film where they developed this technology that they called throwback or something like that. It was like Harry and the Hendersons. It might have been before that, where they developed this 13-foot tall Sasquatch, and they wanted him to run, but it wasn't a costume. They wanted it to be fully mechanical. So it was called Bounce Back, and it was the theory that when you move your arm, there's a brief moment of movement to where it doesn't move mechanically like this and lock into place, but there's a fluidity. A bounce.
Exactly.
Right. So they developed a technology in this character, and it was perfected. It would look great, but it was right at the time where CG was really starting to come to fruition. And and then the studio said, forget that, we don't want to do that. And because they made that decision, the whole movie tanked. I was on it for 3 or 4 months developing. I was storyboarding with Stan, and he was directing the film.
What a bummer.
And then he passed away not too long after that.
That was his specialty. What a shame. And that would
but it was
have
something
showcase
that he was
art.
Developing with Cameron. It was the technology that was of the level of The Abyss and a lot of the things that they were doing that was mechanically based. But at the same time, Digital Domain was doing a lot of CG, and it was just transcending. It was a really amorphous time. To see which direction. No one really knew which direction it was going to go.
No, they were trying everything. Yeah. Remember, mocap was the hot ticket for a minute, and then that didn't really pan out. They use it for different stuff now. They use the technology for different things now.
But if you watch that on Netflix, there's that documentary on Lucasfilm.
It's called Light and Magic, right?
Right, yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's incredibly
fantastic.
Done.
Great. And you get to see all the artists how they make the soup.
Yeah.
The soup way back when.
Kathy knows this, but when I was 11, my dad was working on a show called The Phoenix. And he said, we have a company that's going to do special effects for this show. You want to go see their shop? And I said, yeah, that's great. And I'm like, I think it was 9 or 10. And we got there, and they had the alligator from the movie The Alligator sitting in the parking lot. It was like 30 feet long. And you could climb in the mouth. And then the back had a door, so you could climb out. You know,
like you got eaten.
Yeah, sort of a 10-year-old is like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But then we walked in, and I walked through this soundstage.
The plant for Little Shop of Horrors was the same way.
Yeah. I walked through this soundstage in North Hollywood, and I see this on these stalks. I see all these spaceships. And I don't remember much about it other than seeing a ship that was round like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked past it and went like, that's the most unusual shaped ship I'd ever seen. And they were filming Star Wars.
It was
Dykstra's place.
I should have known that ahead of time. It's John Dykstra.
Yeah.
We know his daughter. That's funny. I should have known that ahead of time. I mean, you said round ship. I'm not a Star Wars guy. It didn't resonate. Millennium Falcon. I know the name of it.
There it is. Yeah. But it was just, it was just that time where, it's just, I don't know. It sounds, if someone said Star Wars, it sounds like a stupid title. Empire Strikes Back sounds like a stupid title.
They all were. Yeah. Ghostbusters, all those things were so dumb until they became iconic.
Yeah.
But Kathy worked on something even better. What's the best movie title?
Oh, Space Sluts and the Slammer.
You worked on that? That's my favorite. Behind the old Gray Bar Motel, Space Sluts and the Gray Bar Motel.
It never got filmed, but I did the costumes.
Yeah. She did, what's the one with Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans?
Oh,
those guys.
I know that one. From Beetlejuice.
Girls
Are Easy or whatever. Yeah. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
So she did all their
Gina Davis.
The fur costumes for those guys.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah,
it was, there was three
Jim
of them.
Carrey's
it was
first movie.
Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, and Jeff Goldblum.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Right.
All I can think of is Goldblum, and I talked myself out of it.
I think Julie Brown, I think, was the friend. Comedian was the friend with a neighbor, and it was like a SoCal movie. Is this movie any good? Fun. I can't remember.
It was.
It's kind of funny, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, Kathy and Bob worked on that, and when it was their shop, and she invented stretch fur because it didn't exist. So she actually created that, and then that became a staple in the industry.
No kidding.
It's used everywhere now. Yeah. Just FYI, like no one.
You mean wardrobe? Like in regular clothes, right?
Yeah.
Because wardrobe static material, no one wants it.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you created the? Did you have to poke fur into a new grid?
What I did was you'd lay your fur on the table, fake fur, and I took a shaver like what you would use for shaving a dog. And I'd do it really slow so that the fur would start to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then carefully pick up that roll that's now not attached to anything and lay it on a sheet of urethane.
You were sodding fur.
Thin.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's nothing like that now, but, because I worked on cat people. And we needed, you know, the cat's mouth to open and not have a sag or a seam or anything.
Right.
And be fluid, the whole thing. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty fun. Those days, well, actually, whenever you're building something from scratch, there is a period of invention. But
yeah, that's what he was talking about. You're coming up with this for the first time. Yeah.
It seems like in those days, you know, I was working for Tom Berman at the time, and I thought I'd just try this. And then you'd have to make sure that the whole piece of fur didn't, you know, fall all the way into the urethane, just the ends.
Yeah.
So it was really
the thing that I admired from Kathy most was the ability to take someone's money, a studio's money, for a big project, tens of thousands of dollars, and you have no idea how you're going to make this thing.
Oh, I'd go away and cry.
Not a clue. It was just like, that's let the anxiety begin. Yeah. But she did it over and over and over. And you're talking about an overall concept of how you face fear, you know. And it made me realize that, man, there's nothing that I couldn't face as a challenge because she's facing this on a daily basis, you know. And that's an extraordinary experience and a testament to faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your own talent and your abilities, but also in the creative process.
I was going to say, don't you find that art and faith are directly connected?
Absolutely.
I do for my own creative mm-hmm. process, because sometimes you don't know what you're going to do, and you just have to believe that you're going to get there.
Exactly. And then you have to work with whatever happens, you know?
The parameters that are given, first of all, which sometimes are atrocious, and mm-hmm. then you're right. Yeah. Just mm-hmm. because you have this great idea doesn't mean it's going to go to plan.
Right, right.
What are some of the disasters, or what sort of things have popped up that have ruined your day?
Well, oh, man. One, probably on every single job, but Ellen DeGeneres's jobs were, they never gave me enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So this one year they wanted an elf costume that was Elvis. So we
Elvis. I get it.
We didn't know whether it was an elf that looked like Elvis or it was an
Elvis impersonator dressed like an elf.
Yeah. No one ever said.
But the costume, also the uniqueness was the head went from here to here, and the rest of the body was tiny.
Right, right. Marty Gras style.
That's kind of a cool thing. So in this case, we sculpted it, sent it to the head part, to a vacuum former, so now it's in plastic.
And hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to build the back of the head and then the rest of the body so he can get it on. It's in plastic now. They call us up and say, we've got a few changes.
Ooh! We just made it hard.
The nose is not long enough. The ears are not pointy enough. We don't like the eyes at all.
Ooh!
Yet, it's still due in like 3 days.
Can you modify the hard vacuform cast now that you have? That's what I would do.
Do not come out into the backyard. Do not talk to me. Because I am now, I use a turkey carver to cut into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not
the
meant
electric
to cut in.
The reciprocating.
Yeah. It's not meant to cut plastic. I didn't care.
It's for foam, really. You would usually use it on foam and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had to get these eyes out. The nose I was able to just elongate with some foam. But the eyes I had to cut out. And I am crying as I'm working because I know this is due in 3 days and now I'm just hacking it up.
Yeah.
I'm peeking out my window and all I'm hearing is just, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Oh, oh, fuck. Horrible.
And then I'm like, I think I'll close my door.
My ex-husband was the one that sculpted the head. Yeah. So he finds out I'm now hacking it up. Now he's furious. He won't talk to me. It's like, it's not my fault that they Oh, man. And, I mean, there probably is a thousand stories like that. But
it came out great. You know, the one thing that she's never missed is a deadline. You know,
she's very punctual.
In the early days, we did a commercial for what was that other game? Street Fighter. And we were literally pulled an all-nighter at the end, and the person came to pick it up and was standing at our door as she was trying to finish it.
Oh.
And they felt really bad because they were like a PA.
Right.
You know, saying, it's got to go to set. It's got to go to set. And
they're
she's
calling
like,
me right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they wanted the clothes for Street Fighter all aged down, and I had made them all, like, clean. So I said, you've got to go out and age these jeans. We live in a condo on Civic Center, and Tim takes...
Do you? That's where I used to live.
No, we used to.
I used to. Really?
The only ones that are the condo on Civic Center?
Yeah.
The ones that look down on the...
Yeah,
that's where I live when I first moved here.
Yeah.
It was a sublet from Pepperdine.
Oh, yeah.
I lived there for like 3 months, the summer. Summer of 99, I suppose.
Oh, God, we probably lived there at the same time. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I was in the back building behind the tennis courts and the pool.
Oh. So I say to him, and he's never helped me out with work before, because this is our early days together. You've got to go out and age these jeans, however you can think of it. So it's in the middle of the night. He takes the jeans into the parking lot, and he's going,
grinding them on the ground.
That's how you do it.
But we had a security guard that was walking up behind me. Now envision a security guard walking up behind a guy who's rubbing his jeans on the ground at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You look like you just shit yourself, and you look crazy. You're trying to clean your pants.
And he goes, what are you doing?
I'm on a crazy deadline. Don't bother me.
That's exactly what I said. And he just turned around and walked away.
Don't even ask.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought, wow.
It's funny he stayed
was it
with
that,
me
the,
because
the
that
little,
was early.
Underground? There's the above ground underground.
It was on the. I was it right in the middle of the main drive.
Where it's the lowest.
Yep.
You know, the
right in the middle.
The most coarse.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Looked like a monster movie.
Funny
like
that
I had some kind of
you
baby.
You said 99?
Yeah, summer of 99.
Okay, we were there in 1990.
Yeah.
But it was, I'm trying to, 21625 Civic Center Way, something like that?
21337.
No, that's us.
Whoops-a-daisy. Never mind.
Zip. Sorry, Jane.
Anyway. Yeah. That's right. Jane Seymour.
Oops. It happens. If the crew shows up, good vibes, baby.
All right. I got to check in with our buddy, producer Mike, over here because he has been so patient. I know he's got questions. What's up, buddy?
You're darn right I do. I got questions for both of them. Can we go back to the Nintendo thing for a second? Because that just fascinates me. I think I know the commercials that you were talking about. Okay, so the first question is, did you ever make a Nintendo character costume that was a two-person job? And yeah, that was the first question.
What do you mean a two-person job?
Yeah, did you ever make costumes that took like two people? Like, you know, the old school horse that has two people in it, you know, running around. Did you ever make costumes that required more than one person?
Not Nintendo. Mm-mm. I have done it before, but not for Nintendo.
Was there one you were thinking about, Mike, that for Nintendo that might have required?
Well, there's a lot of big characters in Nintendo, and I'm just curious how they sized out that sort of thing.
The biggest one was
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong was 9 feet tall.
Holy crap!
And we hired a guy
to make Mario look small.
Yeah,
of course.
But we hired a guy that was 7'4" or something like that to wear it.
And he looked out the mouth, so then you still got the big head. Way up there. And then Pikachu was for a little person. Right. Her name was Cindy, and she was 3 feet tall. Cindy Sorensen.
I used to know her. Does she drive a white? She's passed away now, right? Is that her?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh no! Was it the girl from Seinfeld? She was on the Seinfeld too?
I don't know.
Oh, damn it. Forget it.
Probably, though.
Damn it. Sorry. Nope. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, all
I'm
good.
Talking to you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring that down. There was the young little person from Seinfeld. I used to get car washes with all the time. She used to have a white Mitsubishi 3000 GT Spider.
Well, she was three feet tall,
so stinking nice.
And she was blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
Blonde, it's super great personality.
Huge personality. Yeah. You would never, not a little, huge personality.
Yeah. She was Pikachu for us, and she said, "I'm going to make you look good." And she did. She wore that
She brought your costume to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, for a Nintendo one, this is a deep cut. I don't know if this will even translate or not. Did you ever make a costume for Birdo?
No.
Okay. Birdo's my favorite Mario character of all time. Oh. She's like this pink dinosaur thing with a bow.
Sounds like we only made things that you didn't like.
Oh, no. I'm certain that you made Goombas and Koopa Troopas. I'm sure you made them.
Nope.
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 The turtles? You never made turtles? Mario nope. turtles?
No, she
These
made,
would have to be costumes people wore, too, so I'm thinking it'd be kind of hard to do that turtle
I would
thing.
Say because there was multiple, so there wasn't that many different kinds of characters with lots of multiples of each one. So Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Toadie, Donkey Kong, Finger, Kirby,
Banjo-Kazooie, Toad.
Toad, yeah. Maybe a couple others. Yeah, but probably four or five versions of Mario.
And Luigi was the same as Mario, just a little taller and green pants. And
that was Bob.
Bob, my ex-husband, wore that.
He wore that.
So you were Mario and Bob was Luigi?
Yeah. So we're,
what the hell, you
we are
guys?
Running down the beach, and sometimes we had to beat the crap out of each other, and it was really fun because he hates me. He can't stand me. So
no.
I think Kathy's my favorite person.
I mean, for real. So when are you coming back? Holy cow. He's been trying to get you here forever. I don't know if you know that. He's like, and then we should have Kathy come in sometime. I was like, anytime.
He says things like that to me, and I'm like.
She's reading her book.
Are you ever on Art Talk?
Yeah.
I used to be.
Okay, because I don't think since I've started watching it, I've seen you on it, but I feel like you'd be the perfect person to be on with you.
She's sometimes she'll make a protein drink and bring it in. And I honestly, I get so many requests from people saying, hey, when is Kathy going to come back? And she's like, nope, I'm reading my book. And
when I get into the mood of making protein drinks, then I'll bring one in.
Yeah.
Because it is inspiring to see, you know, we're a vegan and we try to be really healthy with our lifestyle. So I'll bring a protein drink in, and hopefully it inspires someone else to try it.
Oh, I see. It's inspiring to the viewers then. Of course. Yes. You're right. You're influencing.
I guess.
You're an influencer.
Slightly.
You're a green drink influencer.
It's a juice fluencer.
Oh, no. Yeah. Citrus. I can't get there either.
Yeah.
Mm. So is the car show happening on March 5th, or is that still...
No, it's delayed because a TUP requires 35 days.
Permitting, okay.
Yeah, so the guys at Sea and Soul, which is the surf cafe that's there, they're handling getting the TUP. And we're probably shooting for April, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but as soon as we're good to go and the council says okay and the neighbors are okay, then
come back that week if you can, and then we'll promote it hard.
Yeah, it's only 75 spots, so you know, don't come late and get all pissy if you can't get in. It's just that there's it's going to be packed.
Do people do that?
Yeah,
that sucks. Yeah, that's not the right attitude.
Yeah, I got accosted just the other day because I was quoted in the paper about the Zuma show and that you have to get a TUP, and this random guy came up to me and just started. I thought he was going to start throwing punches. He was angry. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not going to get a fight in the Ralph's parking lot, you know.
Because he thought you were against the Zuma Beach cars and coffee?
Yeah, people make up their own mind about you know, you read something in the paper, it must be true, right? Number one is if it's written, it's...
I read that, you know, though. There was no spin on it. Like, I feel like somebody else put their own spin on it if they're making you the...
Yeah, but since I'm on both sides of the coin, I'm a car guy, I do the shows, but I'm also a commissioner in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that they don't like has to do with cars and the city's doing something, it must be Fireball that's doing it. And I'm like...
Oh,
I'm
everybody
not,
looks at you.
I'm not... You know, they shut down their show, the Malibu Cars and Coffee, they shut it down because they felt we can't ask other people to shut their show down and we continue our show. It's not fair. And I thought that was admirable for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then people got really mad that they shut the show down. They got mad that the city shut this show down and then shut their own show down. It's like, well, at least keep your own show going so that we can go to it. I'm like, I can't make sense of all this stuff. I don't want to get in a fight over it. I got to go to CVS and buy some chocolate. That's all I want to do.
This all became way too complicated, and this is all car show shit. And it used to be a Cars and car Coffee
show, car show
where
drama.
There wasn't any car show shit.
Right.
That's a bummer. Well, I'm looking forward to Wheels and Waves whenever it happens. We'll be there, obviously.
Great, great.
To support.
Yeah. Thank you for having us here, man. It's awesome.
Yes. Can I ask Tim a question, please?
Yeah, please.
Bring it.
Tim, with the Flash trailer that just came out, it looks like Keaton Batman 89 stuff's going to be out this summer.
Yes.
How
question.
Cool is that?
Good question.
Yes, I have not been allowed to say anything. So the 89 Batmobile will be back. You've seen it in the trailer.
Yep.
So I love the idea of having a multiverse with multiple Batmen.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Because
love
them or hate them. Yeah, you know what? In my business, the movie may suck, but the cars are always cool.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter to me.
I'm so with you. We said that the other day.
One thing I did want to mention also is that about 10 years ago, I did a documentary, and I thought it went away. And Michelle Shane, who's a big producer done a lot of films, a lot of movies. The documentary finally came out. It was accepted to Santa Barbara Film Festival. It's called 21 Miles of Malibu.
Oh, I saw you promoting that.
Yeah, and
I didn't know that you were part of that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in quite a bit of it, just from driving up and down the coast and explaining to people the history of Malibu, but also the dilemmas that we go through, the realities.
The very real dangers of that 21 miles. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So if you see the trailer, it's pretty intense, but I'd love to be able for people to see it, but it will be premiering at the Santa Barbara Film Festival, which is this weekend, I think Saturday night.
Very cool.
And we look forward to a good run with it. So eventually it'll be out through Netflix or something like that.
I love it. I got to go back to the Batmobile for a second here just for our buddy producer Mike up there. Have you spent any time with the old Keaton Batmobile that's down at the Marconi that's like one of the real ones?
No. You know, okay.
I mean, you don't care? I mean, to me, that's like such a...
I got to drive too far. I go to the Peterson and see that one there.
See the replica one?
Yeah.
I guess it's the same work as far as you're concerned, because you just drew it, right?
Right.
You came up with what it looks like, and there it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I can't take full credit, because, you know, I did the sketches and stuff, but there's a lot of design that goes into building a car. You know, you have to make everything fit and stuff. It was a big team, but it's always going to be...
You didn't design the Pratt & Whitney jet engine that's inside and all that crazy JPL
I wanted to put the wires in
the
a particular place, and they wouldn't do it, so no. But you know, it's always one of those. It was the first Batmobile that was going to be a film-based Batmobile. Mm-hmm. I think that's the impression that it made for people. I'm incredibly grateful to have been able to do it. It's neat
iconic,
to see it come
man.
Back.
That's,
yeah,
it, you can. That's definitely a word.
And I think that's why it's
use.
Back. I think that's why they. You know, also.
Well, it's because he's back, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Michael
it's
Keaton.
Cause, it's because it's him, so it's his.
I'm
car.
Batman. Is the thing? You
I'm
know?
Batman.
Yeah. So. One of the original bat asses.
So good.
Yeah.
Do you remember that summer? Everyone was like, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Why
right.
would Michael? Mr. Mom is going to be Batman. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then it was like, wait a second.
Amazing.
For real. So good. Because his Bruce Wayne was better than his Batman.
Oh yeah.
And that's where it's all. Oh, oh yeah. So good. So
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Chinese. How do you know? Because I was in China when I bought it. Like, yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Thank you both for being here. Is there anything that we should talk about that I forgot? We talked about the Malibu Car Show, which I know you wanted to talk about for a very long time. You gave us beautiful gifts, which is very, very generous.
Sure.
Thank you for that.
They're available on our Etsy store. So fireballtim.etsy.com. We got 25 different mugs on their way to 500.
You don't have to just buy our mug posts. There's all different ones.
Yeah. And 10% of proceeds goes to dog rescues. But if someone has a suggestion for a kind of car that they think would be really popular. I'd love to do individuals' cars, and I do custom mugs for individuals.
Oh.
But if you think a Cobra, an AC Cobra, would be cool as a mug, make the suggestion. Shoot me a DM somewhere, and
love
I'll
it.
Consider it. Yeah,
love it. It'll be on the site by the end of the day.
Boom! That's how we roll, baby.
On time, always.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Thank
we,
you.
We love you guys. Gee whiz. Let's see. I probably have some stuff to do here, Mike. Here, come back with me, buddy, here. Excuse me. If you guys are done, if you want to leave, you can leave, but you don't have to leave.
Well, we'll
does
hang
that make sense?
For,
okay, cool.
For a bit.
Do you want us to move from these chairs?
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. I just
get out.
When I say I'm bringing Mike in here, I mean on the screen there. I'm trying to think. There were some things I said we were going to mention tonight, and I don't know if we did or if we're Gonna or not. Adam Ferrara is at the, speaking of the Marconi Museum, April 1st for an evening of Cars and Comedy. Check out the Eventbrite on that. We will be at the Motoring Club on April 15th for the LNP 5th anniversary party.
Did you say Adam Carolla?
Adam Ferrara.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Adam lives, Carolla lives right down the street from me.
What's his address?
Two houses down. It is, Nope.
No, Adam Ferrara is a buddy of ours, also a comedian, car guy. Sorry. Used to host Top Gear.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah.
And he's very funny as well. And we'll be at the Motoring Club on April 15th for the 5th anniversary party / fundraiser / TV taping. Producer Mike, if you want to come down for that, it's going to be a good time. But there's going to be a lot of things to come down for in the future. So also, good grief. There we go. Your only official source for Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, officially licensed stuff, is the Hello Deli in New York. That's 53rd and Broadway. Look at that mug of pencils right there and my hat. Rupert G. in the Hello Deli, you all remember him from the late Show days. He's still in business, still making sandwiches for New York, and he's still selling officially licensed Letterman stuff for the big man. Go to hello-deli.com. Get your stuff today. All your swag. Make sure that you say hello for Nicole. Not only does Rupert love her, but oftentimes.
I cannot.
Dual Shift. GBBC merchandise is on dualshift.com. Get yourself some sticker packs or whatever is there. I don't know. There's shirts, there's hats, all the fun stuff. And our buddy Byron Bowers, Spiritual N-Word on Hulu, is his special. It is excellent. It is not just comedy. It is a spiritual journey. Really, really fun. It is also very funny. And he is doing stand-up again. He is going all around L.A. now. We're going to go see him at the Comedy Store soon, but he's doing improv. He's doing a bunch of different places, so check out ByronBowers.com for his dates. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is new. We know you have many options for your viewing pleasure. Thank you for choosing Cars and Comedy. Late Night Plays that is brought to you by the Autoimmunity Foundation. The AIF is supported by financial contributions from viewers like you. So please consider supporting today. AutoimmunityFoundation.org. AutoimmunityFoundation.org.
AutoimmunityFoundation.org.
Yeah, we did not make our foundation very easy for you to say, unfortunately, but maybe no. AIF.
It's the play that Ben Moss I'm finding.
Exactly.
Everything that we have to talk about, no one can say. That's right. It's hilarious. All sound dumb.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we sound dumb when we're saying what's wrong with us.
No, you're not. You're not dumb. Everything's fine.
We're all fine, but we sound dumb because we can't say.
I heard you the first two times. Why do you want to? But you're not dumb. And I'm letting them know you're not dumb. Mike, there's all sorts of things coming up. Maybe we'll just talk about everything next week. How does that sound?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
I mean, is there anything you have for tonight? Oh, yeah. You got a new guest tomorrow on the Letterman podcast. Who do we have coming up?
Felicia Collins, part two is tomorrow. And it's even longer than part one. I had a lot of very good feedback about part one. And we just recorded with Jason Zinnemann. So he's coming up next week.
Felicia Collins, for anybody who doesn't remember, part of the CBS Orchestra on the Letterman Band.
Wow.
She's very, very talented. We've seen her live. Amazing, amazing. And Jason Zinnemann was the writer of the Letterman book, correct?
The last Letterman book that came out. Yeah, so Letterman, the last giant of late night is right. Zinnemann's book. He's also written a book on Dave Chappelle and horror movies as well.
Now,
and he is the New York Times comedy critic currently.
Right, there we go. And now I couldn't find this the last time you brought up Felicia Collins, but I'm going to play it now. This was it's Thursday, right? Here's a TBT.
Take a mic. Take this mic. Take that mic right there. There you go.
I don't want to take anyone's mic.
How long have you been?
Hi, everybody.
Martin Short, everybody.
Paul Schaefer.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well. That was the last time we saw Paul Schaefer and Felicia Collins. We were at the front row at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I remember that.
When they came to town. Yeah, you walked there and everything. It was great.
Yeah, it was normal.
Buddy, but you every time you... Oh, go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
No, every time you talk about Felicia Collins or Martin Short or bring up the song, thanks for remembering.
Thanks for remembering. Yes, I was waiting for him to say it.
All right, so we found it for you. There you go. I'm done. Anybody else done? I've had it.
Done.
I love you. We love you, too.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for being here and spending some time with us. Please come back anytime.
Absolutely.
You can bring her in a couple of weeks when we're talking about the next show.
Hey, you know what? We went to a ramen place. I'm going to give these guys a plug because
okay, what's their address?
I don't know what their address is.
What was it called?
Is it Gokoku? Gokoku. It's over here on Lancashire. Best ramen noodles I've ever had in my life. Unbelievable place. Unbelievable place.
That's high praise.
Yeah, the chef is named George.
Please don't say anything other than, is it right around the corner?
It's right around the corner from your address, which is, what's your address?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. No, because there is a place that people have talked about, but we have never been there, but it's like right around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Up on Lancashire, it's good.
Jesus!
Okay. Yeah.
Fucking.
No, George. Lanky.
I love you. We love both of you.
Did I do it?
We love producer Mike up in Canada. We love you on Instagram and everybody else. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great week. Oh, gosh, shit, this weekend. God damn it. Tomorrow we're at GVBC. Sunday we'll be at Cafe de la Page in Malibu. And then next week we're back here with it's Lit Week, Porsche Lit Week. Dan Brunn will be here on Tuesday, architect Dan Brunn from DBA Architecture. And on Thursday, very excited about this, Sean Cridland. Author of the Hurley book, author of the Brumos Porsche book, and he is donating that Brumos book series that has been painted by Pixar artist Jay Ward for your foundation, and we'll be talking all about that stuff next week. So, blah, 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 blah. Love everybody. See you out there. Have a great night. I